And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So when I arrived at St. Thomas 4 years ago next week to preach my first sermon, I was greeted with a beautiful liturgy. The choir was singing, a new organ was being played, and the pews were packed as everybody wanted to see who this new priest would be. There was a special coffee hour afterwards, and somebody had gone out of their way to find out what all my favorite foods were so that they could be on the menu. It was humbling and encouraging to be the honored guest coming to town, especially in what was to be my new home. Jesus, on the other hand, when he comes to preach, he gets a different kind of reception, doesn't he? Everyone thought they knew him. And he proclaimed to his neighbors a message of hope and expectation that everybody loved. The sermon was great. But then something went wrong, and a mob tried to murder him. What happened? I think the issue was that Jesus challenged his neighbor's assumption that they had a special claim on him. Jesus' life and ministry wasn't just about Nazareth. He was about God's mission, and God's mission was bigger than just Nazareth. In my written reflection in the annual report that you might find at the entrance today, I began by noting that for St. Thomas, 2021 was the year that the pandemic did not end. We all hoped it would. But even as our hopes faded into the harsh daylight of reality, we lived in faith. Actually, because of the successive disappointments and frustrations and ambiguities of the year, our faith had ample opportunity to come to expression, to be stretched, and to grow like muscles doing resistance exercises. In faith, we continue to be the church, even when public health directives, our diocese, and our own best effort interpretations of the news prevented us from doing nearly anything the way that we were accustomed to doing it. In faith, we continued mailing in our pledges and even offered extra seasonal gifts. In faith, the bell tower renovation was completed so that our bell once more announces to our neighbors, "We are praying for you." In faith, Carl Kinsley conceived and executed a plan to connect all our buildings together with a local area network so that we could broadcast services from any of our buildings and lower our monthly costs. In faith, the kitchen was remodeled with new floors and new cabinets and new counters and new paint and new outlets. We've hardly even gotten to use it yet, but we have faith that we will. In faith, Donna Friedel accessed a diocesan grant to tear up and replace cracked and uneven sidewalks. In faith, we smoothed fields. We found a donation of free gravel to resurface our parking lot. We extended a concrete apron to make it easier for Kitchen Hope to receive deliveries from pallet jacks straight into their storage space. In faith, And without room in our budget, we contracted with a new cleaning service to help make our parish hall sparkle for the sake of hospitality. In faith, when we weren't even meeting indoors, Hal Kramer recruited a talented Roland music student to lead our choir and to bring new songs to our liturgies. Every time I celebrate the Eucharist, I am awestruck as I think about the prodigious number of people who helped make that happen. From altar guild to the Tuesday night crew, from lectors to acolytes, from ushers to camera operators, organizers and recruiters, to all the people of God together, always together, only together, do we make Eucharist. It's dangerous territory trying to mention specific names because everyone here deserves a mention. But I want to observe that in 2018, just days before I moved here from Seattle, Joe Rusuto was elected junior warden. And he has served faithfully and well in that capacity for the last 4 years, sometimes risking life and limb to do the maintenance tasks that he was passionate about. And so as he passes on that office to someone else, Joe leaves behind a church campus that is better lit, more safely wired, and with tiny electric bills. Who but Joe had the vision, the faith, the patience, and the persistence to find a vendor willing to install solar panels on the roof of this building and the barn at no cost to St. Thomas? I am in awe of our vestry, led by Senior Warden Eric Cephas, who have done amazing and unprecedented work in dealing with the closure of our church campus, the ups and downs of infection rates and diocesan guidance, and all the other questions of health and ethics and love and faith that come with a pandemic. A pandemic the likes of which none of us had ever experienced before. I'm grateful to all of them. St. Thomas was all about God's mission in 2021. This past year, we all made great sacrifices to care for one another. We wore masks even when we didn't want to. We showed up to read or serve in liturgy outdoors when it was cold or rainy or threatening snow, or indoors when it had snowed. Who knows? Our Sunday school programs for children, youth, and adults all adapted to the demands of the season by meeting mostly online, although there were occasional special events in person. This morning, I came in early to set up our screen we hadn't done for a long time, and I happened to turn it on while Sunday school was still going on. I couldn't hear what was going on, but I saw the faces, right? I saw joy in the faces of children, and I saw love in the faces of adults. Right? It was a beautiful thing to witness. Through Kitchen of Hope, St. Thomas has doubled down on our food distributions in order to care for our neighbors. And all of these things are what it means to be the church. And we aren't just church for ourselves, are we? This year, St. Thomas continued to grow in our efforts to reach out to Rowan University. Rachel Owen has been key in organizing these efforts. As COVID shut down our dinner church program, we looked for other ways to be present to students. From our fall retreat at Camp Crossroads, to Church in the Woods, where we celebrated the Eucharist on campus in public places, to last fall's weekly compliment pizza outdoors, we have continued to experiment with different ways to offer the love of God to our neighbors across the street. And not just across the street anymore. I've been told that Rowan is buying the intermediate school across the other street. St. Thomas is now enveloped in a Rowan sandwich. I'm more convicted by that than ever, that the mission field has come to us.
Yes.
That God is calling us to love and to serve the community of Rowan University. These are our neighbors, the ones that Jesus commanded us to love. And as the Episcopal Church in Glassboro, we have both a responsibility to do the work of God and a golden opportunity to launch out in faith and grow into something new. Mm-hmm. Rooted in our history and identity as St. Thomas, I think we are called to blossom with new life because that's how God works. Mm-hmm. And this is the news that Jesus had for his neighbors. The mission of God was bigger than their community. Absolutely, Jesus was there to proclaim good news to the poor, release for the captives, sight for the blind, and release from oppression. But the year of the Lord's favor was not something that Nazareth could keep for themselves. And when they tried to grasp it, to hold on to it, to have it for their very own, Jesus slipped right through their fingers, didn't he? And went on his merry way doing what God was going to do. We at St. Thomas have acted with great faith this year. We have continued to move forward to grow in our charisms, our special gifts and callings from God. But like the people of Nazareth, we are not called primarily to our own comfort and well-being. We are called to participate in God's mission to change the world. God's blessings have not been poured out upon us so abundantly, merely so that we can soak in them like Scrooge McDuck in his pile of golden coins. Instead, God has entrusted us with a healthy parish, with beautiful buildings, with amazing proximity to a dynamic university campus crying out for meaning and acceptance and joy. God's mission is bigger than St. Thomas, and this is good news because it means we have room to keep growing. I am excited to see what God will do with us and in us and through us in 2022. Amen. Amen.